I want to really get rolling on this message. I don't know if you saw coming in, but I am prepared in a lot of ways. I have this Bible ready. I have this Bible ready. I have this Bible if I need it. I don't use this one very much, but I think it's real important that the Lord really gets us in some understanding in an area that God just has put on my heart this week for this crowd, but He put it on my heart when He called me into the ministry. And I'm going to just jump right into it, okay? Now, Ricky, being led by the Spirit, we sang some songs that deal in a lot of ways with this message. We sang at the start, "Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb?" The soul. Your soulish realm, man. Then at the end of the music, we sang 10,000 Reasons, which, what does it say? "Bless the Lord, oh my," say it with me, "soul. Oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul." I want to minister a message this morning simply entitled, "Be a Soul Winner." Say that with me, please. Be a soul winner. Say it one more time. Ready? Be a soul winner. A soul winner. Because I'm just going to tell you honestly that only probably, even in this church, but the church in, it's probably a little bit higher, only 70% of Christians are actually soul winners. They don't even think about being a soul winner. Maybe it's because you don't know what a soul winner is. I don't know. A soul winner is having the desire to lead people to Jesus. Plain and simple. If you're born again and Jesus is your Lord, then hopefully you would be excited to tell people about that one that saved you, that died for you, that bled for you, that redeemed the curse for you that we read earlier. And when you're excited about something, you tell people about it. But sadly, again, there's not a lot of people that understand that God requires a born-again Christian to be a soul winner. Man, I had one in my spiritual dad and mom, Glenn and Ann Smith, and even in my dad and mom that pastored, they were soul winners. Ann and Glenn, I was just around a lot when I got older in the ministry. Now both of them in heaven, but they were really the pioneers of the cowboy movement in the 70s, as most of you guys know. And God just used them at rodeos and different Western events. But you want to talk about a soul winner. We would be at a restaurant and Ann Smith would lead the waitress or the waiter to Jesus almost every time. Unless they were not saved. Constantly leading people to Jesus. That's where my heart's always been. That's why so many people get saved at this church, is because I'm a soul winner. I just am. But guess what? That's a good thing, and you are to be a soul winner. What stops us, though, I think, is we don't know how to lead people to Jesus. But that's why I say the same prayer, Romans 10:9, over and over and over and over at the end of our service. "Father, I open the door of my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus is my Lord. Jesus, come into my heart and save me. I believe that you've been raised from the dead. Remember, because Romans 10 says that if thou, which is us, will confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou, which is all of us, shalt be, say it loudly, saved. Well, being saved is being a soul winner. I mean, interested in people not going to hell. I'll just be bold enough to say this. If you want people to go to hell for real, something is wrong with your salvation. But yet, man, look how the enemy has tricked a lot of people. I'd rather them go to hell the way they've treated me. But God's wanting to wake up the church today so that we can literally be soul winners. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16 says that we are literally mandated to preach salvation. Let me read it to you. 1 Corinthians and chapter 9. If you have a Bible, begin to flip over there and let's just read it all together. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 16 says, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Woe is unto me. The Amplified kind of says it this way, for I merely preach the gospel that gives me no reason to boast, for I feel compelled, the Apostle Paul is saying. I feel compelled of necessity to do it. Woe is me if I do not preach the glad tidings, the gospel, salvation, see. And it just broke my heart when God began to put this on my heart of so many Christians that has never led someone to Jesus. In their minds, they think they just bring them to church. And that's a good thing. If you want to bring them to church, then I'll lead them to Jesus. But we all need to be a soul winner. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, after you give your life to Jesus, the Bible says, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son, meaning that when you give your life to Jesus, Morris, you are translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of Jesus through the Son, through the light. You're not in the kingdom of darkness any longer. You're a different creation in Christ. In your mind, you have to understand that if you give your heart to Jesus, it's not just to make heaven. That's a good thing to make heaven, praise God. No, it's to be able to live on the earth in a different kingdom so that the kingdom of darkness can't get you down when the kingdom of the world tells you that you're going to die of some disease or sickness or cancer. If you don't know who you are in Christ, if you don't understand that God wants you to be a soul winner, which means that he wants more than us just putting on the helmet of salvation and making heaven when we leave this earth, that we're required, praise God, not to get behind a podium like a preacher, but man, you've got some influence with all kinds of people probably where you're surrounded. And some of them, I would say, probably most of them, need to know about Jesus. And if you don't have a soul-winning spirit about you, then I'm telling you something is wrong with your salvation. Oh, you might say, yeah, but I go to church. Yeah, but going to church doesn't have anything to do with your salvation and being a soul winner. Yeah, but I'm a good person. I treat people with respect and kindness. Yeah, but treating people with respect and kindness does not qualify you in any way about salvation. It's when you're transformed from a a different kingdom, a different person, a Babylonian person, a sinful person. Remember people that say constantly, you know, brother, we're just all sinners, saved by grace. Not if you're born again. If you're born again, you're not a sinner. You may sin, but you're not a sinner. Why? Because you're saved. You're saved by grace. So we've got to start getting people to have understanding, and I've been preaching this for 20 years, trying to get you to find out who you are in Christ. But the excuse usually is, well, you know, I just kind of private about my salvation. Why? Why? Why would you be private about your salvation when your brother's dying and going to hell? Come on, shout back to me if you agree. There is no reason for us to be fat sheep. Most of y'all know that my family raised sheep and goats when we were younger. We grew up in ranches, man, that they had sheep and goats. And I've told these stories before, but those old mohair goats and the sheep with wool, when you were trying to gather them, if they were just so fat, they would easily hang their wool or their mohair in a mesquite tree, and they were not strong enough to get away. And most of you know coyotes or anything else, bobcats or mountain lions that live in those hills of Ira Ann, McCamey, Sheffield, Sonora, Fort Stockton, any of those mountains up there, all the way to Alpine and the Fort Davis Mountains and etc. Man, mountain lions will come in there and they'll kill that sheep, that goat, if he gets stuck. Why? Usually it's because they're so fat that they just don't have the energy. Now, I'm not talking about the weight of a human being. I'm talking about we get so filled up spiritually that we don't ever let it out. And we just become fat sheep. And I'm saying today that God's trying to get us to get that knowledge and that all the spiritual food that we've received for years and years and years and deliver it to people that actually need the stuff as well. We've got to be soul winners. I'll never forget a minister that his congregation was probably about 250 people. And they were having some issues, murmuring and complaining and backbiting. And a lot of things kind of crept in this church that was not God. It was very ungodly. I mean, there was affairs like you never seen. Women and men switching partners, and they just felt like that was, you know, I'm just, a lot of confusion, in other words. Would you say that, right? So the preacher gets up, and he stands before that flock, and he says, let me tell you what's fixing to happen here. Every one of you that believe that trash, that are involved in that trash, if you're not willing to repent and get it right, hit the door. 200 of them left. They walked out. That's what he said. If you don't agree with the Word of God in totality, then pack your bags and get to stepping. And he was bold now. And he watched over 200 of them get up and walk out. Well, you know what he did? With that, it could discourage a little pastor going from 300 people or 250 or whatever to only just a handful of people. I mean, the place was empty. And he said, you know what we're going to now do? Since we've got some people in agreement that we're going to get this Word of God on the inside of us and we're going to start getting away all that junk that's holding us down. You want to talk about a spirit that has infiltrated the church, and that's the spirit of alcohol. You know, and I've never been a preacher, been ashamed of that. I don't care if it makes you mad or not. You better get over it if it does. But that spirit of alcohol has infiltrated the church, and then by golly, it gets people to thinking some weird things. And before you know it, we're having debates over, well, Jesus turned water into wine. Why is it so quiet in here? But I'm going to keep pounding on that spirit till it's out of this church and out of our, well, you know where everything's turning. Man, oh, Jesus. But let me tell you something. I pray, and I just pray, that you would be a flock that wants your pastor to be bold enough to preach the truth of God, even if it hurts a few feelings. But if it hurts feelings, we just got to get over it, because I'm not doing it on purpose. I want you to get healed by Jesus' stripes. I want you to walk in the blessing of God. I mean, we're wondering why we're having so much trouble. Well, clean your house. We need to clean some house. Well, it all deals with just simply being a soul winner. Remember in Matthew chapter 16, verse 26, what profits a man if he gains the whole world, but yet loses his soul? There's that word soul. But yet loses. What profit is it if we're all about making that dollar, but yet we actually lose our soul? There's no profit in that, y'all. Now, here's the good news. When you give your heart to Jesus, then man, you want to talk about operating in the blessing of God? I mean, just God loves a cheerful giver. I mean, in other words, all kinds of scriptures talk about how God wants us to be in His blessing. Well, check this one out. In Matthew chapter 9, let's all turn there, because I think it's really important that the reason God wants us to understand who we are in Christ, Matthew chapter 9. He wants us to be a soul winner is because I think it's so easy to, you know, I don't know how, I don't know much scripture. Well, but that's why you're coming to church. You don't have to have a lot of scripture on the inside to lead someone to Jesus. All you have to have is a desire to want to see people get born again and not go to hell. Yeah, but what if I get persecuted? What if you do? Haven't I grown you up enough to kind of get mature and not be a baby any longer? I mean, yeah, when we're babies, we kind of tiptoe around some things. And it's kind of understandable that you don't want to be persecuted. You know, and I don't either, by the way. But I would rather be persecuted for righteousness' sake, which the Bible, by the way, in Matthew says that I'm blessed for it. Remember, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. I'm not talking about holier than thou. Don't you dare do that. I'm not talking about being an old goody two-shoe and better than me. No. I'm just talking about I want to deliver the gospel of Jesus Christ so that people don't have to die and go to hell. I'm trying to get people born again so that our country turns back to Him instead of turning away from Him. I'm trying to help you understand that the world is crazy out there and it's thinking very bad, negative, ungodly things. I mean, we can't even... I had to go and be an advocate at the state capitol over marriage. I helped them pass the pastor protection bill. Can you believe that? In the United States of America, we have to have a law that protects a pastor so that I can say no to marrying a man and a man or a woman and a woman. I just don't want to... The reason that you get a preacher behind a covenant is so that you add your agreement that covenant lasts forever. But if it's an ungodly covenant, and the Bible talks about it all over, don't yoke yourself, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers, etc. Well, you want to talk about that spirit infiltrating the church as well? we have some homosexual pastors now. Oh, then you get in big trouble for even saying such a thing. I got some big old angels, yo. Now, wait a minute. But we can't let it go to where we don't operate in love and we hate. No, I love those people and I want them to come. And they've come here before, they just get saved and delivered. Once you tell someone the truth, not beating them up and knocking them down, making them feel unworthy. No. Listen to me. Being a homosexual, sinful, sin-wise, is no different than someone lying that's a born-again Christian. There's no difference. But society-wise, we're making those things real big in our country right now. So someone's got to stand up and say no. And we had to do a pastor protection bill so I wouldn't get sued if I said, man, I just can't marry you. I apologize. But I can get you born again. Amen. Why? Well, I'm a soul winner. Okay. All right. Now let's look at Matthew 9. And look at let's just go 35. Matthew 9 and 35. Look, check this out. And Jesus went about all the cities. Now, let me just clarify a couple of things real quick. There's a time in every single church in the history of Christianity that we need a spiritual whooping. Okay? And I don't know if that's this, because trust me, when I preach to me. I want to make sure my focus is on what I'm supposed to be doing, because there's times when, you know, I'll get off on the cowboy side of my life, you know, lots of horses and, you know, cattle and rodeo and roping and everything that I still do professionally. But I still constantly am reevaluating my salvation. Remember, that's what the Word says, you know, you just reevaluate your salvation. Well, and all that simply means is getting priorities right, you see. Now, this message is not to bring condemnation on people. This message is just to say, okay, sir, I need to get better. I need to lead those people to Jesus that I have influence over. Because you're forgiven if you've done stuff wrong. I mean, you walk in grace and mercy, but don't take grace and mercy as an excuse to sin, because it'll mess you up, you see. I mean, it'll get you, okay? So understand that is what we're talking about here. We're trying to just help us understand who we are in Christ, that you was not created, y'all. Corey Ross was not created to be a world champion steer roper. You know why I was created? To fellowship with my God. And then anything you love, you know why I practice so much steer roping? Because I love it. Man, I love coming across that line and putting a trip on a steer. And then when I kick my leg over, I'm amazed at the horse. When I just bring him back underneath me and I step off towards that steer, my horse then goes away from me. And when I say, whoa, he is designed to stop, look in the opposite direction from where all the action is, and stand there with a tight rope. And in the meantime, I'm way over here, about 30 foot from that horse, and I'm tying that steer. Well, that's amazing to me that the horse is so talented, that it works so also, even in a pasture, when you're doctoring a cow, you've got to rope them, get them down. That's where this event came from. So you can doctor them or ear tag them or whatever, vaccinate them. And the horse has to be on his own, basically, with a rope tied to the saddle horn tight. Well, what if he runs off? Of course, that happens. But you're having to trust that animal. Well, I love steer roping. Therefore, I do it every day. Are you getting it? When we're a soul winner in Jesus, when he means so much to me that he forgives me, he gives me wisdom according to James. He's cleansed me from all unrighteousness. He's redeemed me from the curse of the law. He gives me the opportunity to be in the blessing of God. Just read Deuteronomy 28. Amen. I mean, Deuteronomy 28, the blessing and the curse by just simply following the commands of the Lord. I'm just saying, man, there's people around you that need Jesus. They need Jesus. And you've got to be a soul winner. And until you learn how to lead them to Jesus, at least you could say, hey, I don't know much about Jesus, but he's changed my life. Pastor Corey, I need you to lead these people to Jesus. I'll probably say, hey, I'm in Torrington, Wyoming, lead them to Jesus yourself. Let me show you how. You know what I mean? Look at this scripture real quick as I begin to close. See, I was wanting to go back to Mark chapter 4, but we're not going there. Don't turn over there. I'm sorry, John chapter 4, and talk about the woman at the well, and I might get into that next week. But look at this, y'all, because we're again talking about being a soul winner. Just knowing that if Jesus is our Lord, then we've got to be able to tell people about him or something is wrong with your salvation. It's kind of like being a little bit selfish, right? I only want my relationship with you, Lord, and everybody else needs to get away. That's not a soul winner. A soul winner is getting to school. And you know all those ornery hombres? They're wild in the march hare. I mean, just, you know, and they'll hold everything against you that you did wrong. But once you just say, you know what, though? Yeah, I've done some wrong things, but you got to meet my Jesus. Oh, man. Then God begins to work on them just because you planted the seed, right? Look at verse 35 of Matthew chapter 9. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness, every disease among the people. Now, look at me just real fast. Where is Jesus? Who knows where Jesus is? Let me see your hand. Okay, who doesn't know where Jesus is right now? I'm talking in the natural, not by his spirit, because you know the Spirit of God is here. But where is the second of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, Jesus? Does everybody know where he's at, or do you want me to tell you? He's at the right hand of the Father. Why? Because last week we celebrated his raising from the dead. He was resurrected. And he now is in heaven by the Father, okay? Okay, keep that in mind. He's not here any longer, but here, what we're talking about, he was here. And it says, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel, which is good news, right? Of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. And that's what I pray that we all are. Moved with compassion. Because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Look at the next verse, 37. Then saith he unto the disciples, The harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore, and that's what I do. I pray ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Guess what he's done? He's called us. Amen. If Jesus is the Lord of your life, you are the ones that need to labor, because I can't do it all, y'all. I can only do it on a Sunday, or if I talk to you one by one on the phone, maybe, and I can lead you to the Lord. But I and any minister needs help. That's you. Are you saved? Is Jesus the Lord of your life, or is he just a way up there hoping that you have salvation? Y'all savvy? The laborers are few. Okay, here's the last scripture then in the same book, Matthew chapter 28. Check this out. I've got 10 minutes and I've got 9 minutes. I've got 9.5 minutes. Now, go over to 28 real fast. Matthew 28. So really what this message is designed to do is get us fired up. That number one, we need to be soul winners. And if you're a soul winner, oh my Lord, the blessing of God is on soul winners. They just are. And I know it's done differently. There's some people that just, they get on that Facebook and they, and I'll warn you about this, but they get on Facebook and they're just constantly putting scriptures on there. Well, that's a soul winner. But here's the warning. Don't argue the Word of God. Because there's going to be people that are going to come back with, I don't believe in that. And all that's designed to do is the enemy to get you tricked into debating them. And then all your focus is on debating people because they said something nasty about what you believe. No. Just let it be what it is. It's seed. So there's different ways to be a soul winner. I understand that. It might be you. God has instructed you to lead one person to Jesus. And that is a tough one. Because that one is just such a... But, man, God has people that if you're a soul winner, you're willing to lay down your life as a brother and just pray and pray and pray. And sometimes we have to pray for years. And then one day, they give their heart to Jesus. Look at Matthew chapter 28, and let's begin reading in 19. What does it say, the very first word, y'all? Are y'all not there? Do y'all not have a Bible? Do y'all not have a Bible? If you don't have a Bible, get used to bringing a Bible, because that's your sword. That's your manual to live by, your Bible. Or get a phone, get a Bible in your hand, y'all. That's part of who you are in Christ. If you're born again people, we got to start bringing a Bible. Okay? All right, look at the very first word. So everybody that has a Bible, the rest of you just got to trust us. What's the very first word in the King James, in the Amplified, and every other version? Say it loudly. Go. Let's say it together. Go. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Did you notice it didn't say, go if you're a preacher. Go if you're a missionary. Go if you're a prophet only. No, it says all of us to go. And it might be just going to your job. And there's one person that needs to know the salvation of Jesus Christ. There may be a little bit of persecution, but if you'll do it out of love, and you won't do it when you're supposed to be working, do it at lunchtime if you have to. Do it after work and just say, hey, and it might be one seed of, hey, I just wanted to tell you how much Jesus loves you. The seed is so, so important, y'all. The seed, just planting the seed, is a soul winner. Having a desire to tell people about your God if He's your God. Is Jesus the Lord of your life? Then we must be soul winners. I'm not saying you got to go to Africa and eat beetles to tell people about Jesus. No, I'm just saying, be a soul winner. Right where you're at, it's wherever you're at. I don't want to go to Africa, by the way. And I'm a preacher. I want to stay right here in the United States. But if God says go, I'm going. But you know where I'm going? I'm just going wherever. Me and Mom was eating because my wife and Seth and even London are in Amarillo because they're having a surprise little party for a niece and it's a sister thing and her mom's there and it's one of those things that they feel like they need to be there and support and love and those kind of things. Well, but I pastor this church, so I asked if I could be released from eating cake and enjoying things like that. And I'd rather be here, be real honest. No, I love them. And so me and Mom went to eat, and we got this table. You know, you go into a restaurant, and there's a little area that it's kind of first come, first serve. Everything else has to be, you know, waited on. You got to have a number. It'd take you about an hour and a half at some of these restaurants. And so we sat at this one table, and a gal comes and starts washing it off because it was still had the last people's stuff there. And I said, hey, by the way, I'm a good tipper. She said, oh. I mean, she hustled. Well, then I saw a booth that was a little bit bigger. And I said, Mom, why don't we go to that booth? Well, so we got the booth. And here comes this gal. By the time I got the booth, someone else came and sat there. And so it was like trick photography. Where is that man and woman? Because this guy's got a mustache and a beard. And but remember, I told her that I was a good tipper. So she's looking everywhere, and she spotted us. And I said, oh, we just wanted to sit over here. I was wondering, well, whoever gets you, they'll take care of you good. Because, see, she remembered what I said. So as we finished up our meal and a different waitress helped us, I saw this one coming by. And I said, hey. And I blessed her. She didn't help me. She wasn't waiting on me, but I just wanted to be a blessing. Hey, I told you I was a good tipper. Here. Thank you so much. I mean, it was a blessing to her, wasn't it? Well, I did the same thing to the lady that actually helped us. I wanted to bless her as well. But see, just that one seed. You know what happens at this one particular restaurant? Unless you know me real well, you probably don't know where it's at. Called Chewy's. The manager lady, if she sees me, I don't care if there's a 2-hour wait, she says, come on. You know why? Because I blessed her. I said, hey, would $100 get us in a little faster? She said, I can promise you it will. It wasn't really for me getting in. Well, it kind of was. I better be honest. It kind of was not wanting to wait 2 hours. But more so, it was wanting to plant seed. Why? I'm a soul winner. Oh, man, here she came. She sat by us. She has that little tablet because she's the one that directs everything, you know, in Cedar Park or whatever. She sits by us. Well, guess what she then starts doing? Telling me everything that's going on. Oh, man. Graduations are coming. That's junior high and that's high school. And, oh, it's going to be, you know, and it was just stressing her out, you know. The point is, y'all, is it's time that we be about others. And that's what a soul winner is. When I gave the $300 last week, y'all, you know what it did? It opened up the blessing. Because people saw, wow, he gave two. One is here that got the blessing. The others were from California that came down to visit family. And then Leroy, 97 years old. So I gave all of them a $100 bill. Remember that? Well, the reason was is because I'm a giver. I just want to be a blessing, you see. Oh, man. You don't understand the return that God then blessed me before the service was over. be a soul winner. If Jesus is your Lord, it's time that we think about others, no matter how old we are. You don't have to be older and know more scripture to be a soul winner. Because Jesus already lives on the inside of you. And if he doesn't, he's gonna right now. It's time you give your heart to him. Because see, I don't want people to die and go to hell. I don't care. I mean, yeah, being a preacher, sometimes they don't talk good about you. I have this way about me that people usually, especially at rodeos, they don't run from me. They run to me. Because they know I'm not going to beat them up. I mean, you got to be led by the Spirit being a soul winner, y'all. In other words, I'm not going to walk into the Baptist church and start talking in tongues. I mean, they're not going to understand that because there's no teaching on it. So you got to know your crowd. If someone is a little rough on the collar, then you know, be easy on them for a bit. Love on them. Because the Holy Spirit is what will get all the junk out to refine the gold. You don't have to burn it off the first day. Okay? We just got to be soul winners. We got to be about the Father's business. The harvest is ripe. We just need the laborers. And I just can't do it all, y'all. I know I travel. I'm gone a lot here. Y'all know it. But I'm believing that to be a little let. But there's still going to be times when I've got to go. Why? Because I'm a soul winner. But so are you. You just got to get some confidence. Jesus is the Lord of your life. What a pleasure to tell people about your Jesus. And you don't have to know everything, y'all. Matter of fact, you can start with that when you talk to people. You know, I don't know the whole Bible. But there's not a preacher that does. Remember, we all only know in part. There's not a single preacher that knows everything. Matter of fact, lots of us don't agree on everything, on all the points. We just don't. But we know in part. Every head bowed and every eye closed, please. I pray this message will just fire you up so that you understand there's going to be a judgment day, y'all. And judgment, it's not here, y'all. The judgment is when you stand before God. And based on what you do here on earth is how you're going to be judged. If Jesus is the Lord of your life, praise God, when you stand before the Father, that's when He'll declare, well done. Enter into the place of rest, the place of joy, heaven. That's if Jesus is the Lord of your life. But most of y'all know you have a will, and God will not override your will. Don't let anybody ever tell you that. No preacher. God, He's such a gentleman, He will not override your will. He gave it to you. He just wants your will to be submitted to Him. But if you say no, and millions of people say no to our Savior Jesus, and they may say it to us as we are soul winners, but they have that right. If you decide and your will to say no to Jesus and you stand before the Father, and you will, He'll have to say, depart from me. That's why there's heaven and that's why there's hell. But not to send a lot of people to hell, because God will not send you there, but you can send yourself there. So just real fast, if you're not saved and born again, Jesus is not the Lord of your life. Let me present it to you this way, as I've always done it. If you stand before God and you don't know with confidence what He'll say to you, then you need to give your heart to Jesus. If you don't know if you'll go to heaven or hell, and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, you need to today. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to all pray a prayer. All the born-again Christians are going to pray a prayer with anybody that may be watching this program or in the seats here or standing. Doesn't matter. If you don't know what would happen to you, we're going to pray a prayer and we're going to ask Jesus to come into your life. And all of us believers are going to pray with you. All I'm going to ask you to do, I'm just going to ask everybody to do it. Pray out loud. We're going to confess it. And we're going to make Jesus the Lord of our life. You ready? Out of your mouth, especially anyone here that has never made Jesus the Lord of your life. You just don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell if you hadn't thought about it, mate. But today you're desiring to give your heart to Jesus. If that's you, then pray this prayer with all of us where your ears can hear it. You ready? Out of your mouth, say this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart and I confess that Jesus is my Lord. Jesus, come into my heart and save me. Come on, pray it. Save me. Forgive me of any sin that I've ever committed. In Jesus' name I pray. With every head bowed and every eye closed, your just heads are bowed in honor of God. Your eyes are closed just in respect of your neighbor. If you just prayed that prayer for the very first time and you gave your heart to Jesus, here's what I want you to do. Not come down to the front. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want you to tell God that you were serious when you prayed that prayer. And here's what I do. If you just prayed that prayer for the very first time and you gave your heart to the Lord Jesus, when I count to three, I want you to raise your hand up and say, that was me. I gave my heart to you, Lord. I meant it. And then just put your hand down. That's all I want you to do. And I want you to be bold enough to do it, because we cannot be ashamed of our Savior. So if that's you and you just gave your heart to Jesus, get that hand up when I say three, and then just put it right back down. And I want you to do it with boldness. Jesus was not ashamed to die for us, y'all. Please don't be ashamed of acknowledging Him before me or a man that you gave your heart to Him. You ready? One with boldness. If that was you, get that hand up. Two, three, go. Anybody? Thanks, ma'am. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. It's going to give you a Bible. No one looking around. If you just raise that hand and you gave your heart to Jesus. Very, very proud of you, my little brother. All right, look at me. Amen. Thank God that people give their hearts to the Lord. We probably had over 20 last week at the Easter service, and I know the place was packed out, but man, they shot up over here on the right, and just what a blessing. Why? We're soul winners. Amen? All right, so as you begin to live your life from this point forward, I want you to constantly think about being a soul winner. Amen? And that's just not being ashamed to tell people about your God. Amen? Did y'all have a good time this morning? All right.